Shalom Ubrocha Rabbi Shai, as I have suggested, when we skip these two prokim, we skip the sixth and the seventh prokim, and the concept was, these are prokim that are mainly practical elements of the mumim, which really are self-explanatory, and there's not all that much to be mefalpal in Sfar and Iyun. So I figured these blatter from Lamed Zion through Mem Hei, the Oilim would do on their own. But I had offered, and I'm trying to now be Mekayim, my offer, to give an overview with some Haaretz on these blatter to make the Mishkan complete. V'Oyah Mishkan Echot. So that at least some of the Haaretz that we have on these dafim will also be included in the shiurim. But again, this is something that I recommend. I hope the Olam has done so, or if not, will do so. These are not substituting going through the actual Gemaras, but rather just as a tool for extra thoughts and insights and questions, perhaps, that have to be mefalpa with the Olam. And as always, your feedback is not encouraged, but appreciated. Okay, so the first blot here in Perek Elumumim, Zlamet Zayin Amar Aleph, where we began our skipping, if I believe we didn't even start the Perek. The Perek basically lists the Mumim and then goes through the details of those Mumim that you can shech the Bechol. So basically, what we learned up until now is that a Bechol of Behemet Tohera is wearing two hats, and we've discussed this in many, many different shiurim. It's wearing a hat of kachim. It's a kob b'chol. At the same time, it's also a matnas kahuna. Okay? And the mantle of matnas kahuna does not get lost by the fact that it gets a mum. It does not change the status quo. The mum can only change the status quo, which we had earlier, mum, which is the rarity where a mum happens before. Where tzorim oizim b'chol, koidim shabol avir ha'elam, that's a whole different story. So the question here that the Mishnah is addressing is which mumim are you allowed to shech the b'chol? Because once the behemah gets a mum, so now that mum validates it for shechita, which in a sense is similar to other korbanos which get a mum, which become what we call psulei hamukdashim. Once the behemah becomes a psulei hamukdashim, so it's not roy to be brought as a korban. At that moment, it loses the status of kedushas aguf, and it becomes kedushas damim. Bechor is Momen Kohen, and it maintains itself as Momen Kohen, and you're allowed to shecht it. So the Mishnah basically is listing which woman. It goes through the different parts of the year, how much we'll discuss in the Gemara, the fact if the ear dries, that's also a question, how much the ear has to dry in order for it to become possible. The Rambam is Mashma Roiv of the year. Somewhere in the Shir is similar to the Shir of Nikva, which the Mishnah says is a kalshina, a gabin. So the Gemara then goes on. The Gemara here on Lamed Zayin, both Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, the Gemara says Amai, meaning how do you know that these are mumim? Pisach v'yivel k'siv. It says pisach v'yivel. In other words, how do you know that other things are mumim altogether? The Mishnah is listing different parts of the year. What do you mean? The Torah only talks about a pisach v'yivel. And therefore, if the animal doesn't have the issue with its leg or blindness, then maybe it should be also b'shechita. Okay. Question is difficult, I must say. The whole question of the Gemara is difficult. And the Chazon Ish actually is aiming on this. In his Chidushim, the Chazon Ish asks, he says he doesn't understand, why is the Gemara assuming even as a possibility, that this should not be like Kotchim. Why in the world shouldn't it be like Kotchim? Meaning, just like by Kotchim, whatever the moon by Kotchim, now we're dealing with the Kotchim part, right? We're not dealing with the Matnas Kohen element of it. We're dealing with the Kotchim element of it. Why would the Gemara assume that there's any kind of difference between the halachas of Kotchim and the halachas of Bechor? And Fakert. We see in many places we learn them from each other. So the Chaznish gives a whole long mahalach to try to navigate in this area. And I just want to give a certain havona, which I think will help to understand this. The Chaznish is found by us in the beginning of Simen Chof Hei Bechores. Also a Chivas Beis Ephraim in Archaim, who has a discussion about this parsha as well. It's in Simen Samach Aleph, I believe. Simen Samach Aleph. Al Koponim, so that's one issue we have to analyze. What is going on? And then the Gemara gets more complex, because the Gemara then goes on. The Gemara says, fine, okay, so if, how do you know maybe it's only those? The Gemara says, well, we have this klal prat. The Gemara says, maybe it's only a klal prat. The Gemara says, no, it's chos of a klal. Memela, it's a klal prat or klal. Everything is included. Fine. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, maybe only batel mimalachta, only the kind of mum, which not only is permanent and visible, but also batel mimalachta. So here the Gemara is going with one mahalach, which is that for some reason Bechor would be much more chamer. In order for the mum to work, it will be much more chamer than kachim. Okay? That's clearly the mahalach the Gemara is going. The Gemara answers no. There's a first the Gemara brings out a pasuk. Gemara says l'maise kol mumra is a ribui, and then the Gemara says if that's the case now, maybe mum shebesei. So the Gemara says no. Being in mumra v'lek, it's not called a mumra. But then as the Gemara continues on lamed zayin amid beis, the Gemara now goes to the opposite direction. And now we go in the other direction. Maybe even a mumoivel. Now mumoivel, by kotshim, there's no problem. Mumoivel, there's absolutely no issue. The behemoth maintains its kedusha. We had this in the Masechta earlier on. We spoke about it by Riches. And mumoivel is a mum that's going to go away with time. And that actually maintains the status of Kotrim. The behemoth maintains its status. And there's no nafkamin in halacha. Really, there's no nafkamin in halacha. And actually, some hold that even to place, to make a mumoivel on a behemoth's Kotrim, you're not oivel an isel. That's, again, that's not muskim, but there is a debate in the poiskim. If somebody makes a mumoivel on behemoth's kachim, now he goes to behemoth's kachim, and he actually makes a mumoivel, he goes ahead and he puts in a mumoivel. The Gemara has a discussion that the Gemara itself doesn't directly address this, but the Gemara just says that it's still hoy. And the Michas Chinuch in Mitzvah Reish Pehei, he's medayik from the Lashon Harambam and from the Lashon Hachinuch. Not simple. And it goes in both directions. Some hold that if you're not over the Yisrael of making the mum, then you won't be over the Yisrael of being makdash it either in its state of having a mum. In other words, you could even be makdash it with the mum. I'm talking about a mum over. Because basically it's negligible. The mum in halacha, it's negligible. It's no different than being makdash abeim, and if for some reason you can't be makdash right now. You can't bring it as a kohen right now. It's too young. Okay? You have the whole inyan of mechusar zman, right? For 7 days, the night of the eighth. But if somebody is makdish behemah, kedem zmane. It is the same thing by a mum oivel, that you won't even be over on Yisrael of being makdish to behemah. Okay, and that's the Menachas Chinuch in that same piece discusses that question. Because the Kesef Mishnah says that you are. You talk our oivel. Kesef Mishnah says that in Yisurim is Mizbeach and Perek Aleph, that if somebody is makdish to behemah, with a mum oivel, Kesef Mishnah says that you take evel the isel of being makdish a bal mum. So according to him, the Menachas Chinuch wants to say in a chaname that if you would go ahead and put a mum oivel in beimas kachim, you would be evel. And Menachas Chinuch is medayik from the Rambam Fakehot. And Menachas Chinuch holds that if you're not oivel for being makdashit, you're not oivel for putting it on either. In other words, it's not viewed as a mum. So that's a debate on its own. But the question is, here the Gemara seems to be saying that it would be a svara to say, possibly, that not only would a regular mum qualify, but even if you would go ahead and have a mum that doesn't normally qualify in Kol HaTorah Kula, it would qualify by Bechor. So we're going around Mishmana Kotzer Ad HaKotzer. And it's true, we're playing around with the Yukim and Psukim as well. But what's the Svoras HaDvorim behind this whole thing? So I'll tell you a machshove, which I think could be behind the back and forth, the Shach of HaTayr of HaOsugyan. There's an important Nekudit to realize, although it's poshet, it doesn't stare at you, pepshute. And that is like this. There's a tremendous nafkemin in halacha between the mum of kochim and the mum of kolater, of bukharis. The mum of kochim is, in a very simple way, even though Reb Chaim, we had Reb Chaim at another mahalach, but in a very simplistic way, it could be explained as a very mechanical thing. You have a behemah. The behemah has kedushas aguf because it has to be brought as a kol. The definition of kedushas aguf is a behemah that's oymet vakhove. Okay, that's the definition of kedushas aguf. You will mark the shit for the mizbech, and it's roy for the mizbech. And if both those elements are met, so now you have a behemah by definition as kedushas aguf. Now, behemah gets a mum, not roi for mizbech. Now roi for mizbech loses the status of kedushas aguf. What does it become? Automatically, kedushas domi. Okay, psalim mukdash. It doesn't lose the status of hektish. Not only doesn't lose the status of hektish, the animal still carries in itself the burden, the shibud, of being brought as that kol, whatever it was. Okay, with the exception that the animal itself can't be brought as a kol. No longer does it represent the kedusha on its body itself, but rather it represents the shibud, the monetary shibud of the kol being brought through its monies, through its redemption. That's kotshim. Bechor is an andere meise. Bechor gets a mum. The whole mantle of a kol gets removed. The whole mantle gets removed, and it goes to a new status. It becomes now momen koyim, with no restriction of requiring pinyon, but rather now you could shecht it, and now it's your behemah. And now the kotshim element of it, as far as bailus and shem kolm, have been closed down. Okay, there is certain restrictions on a bechor, even after it got a mum. But again, those restrictions are there, but they are not, there is no requirement for redemption for you now to treat it with all the leniencies that you would a behemoth that got a mum. It's like a behemoth's kachim that got a mum lachapadiyah. There's no redemption happening. So really, the mum is knocking out two elements. It's accomplishing a whole new thing. Okay, so now, there are two ways to look at this. How does it accomplish that? So it's exerus hakosef. That it accomplishes that. First of all, why do we understand that the initial nekuda could be that the mum requirements are much more stringent? So right away we understand aschos asugia, the requirements for such a mum could be much more stringent than kach. In svara, I'm not talking about nochtem, we have droshes and psukim and akashim, but I'm saying in svara, there would be a, it's not just there, it's kach. Why should it be different? It's not, why should it be different? It's accomplishing something entirely different. Okay. Now, once there is a broad umbrella permitting all women, to give the din of shechita and to give the kohen his momen, and again, the stress here is without pidyon, now we go to the other side. Now we say, well, one second. So now it's not the pshat that the mum is making it not roi. The mum is changing its identity. The mum is changing its identity. It's almost like the bechor is oimed for two things. The bechor is oimed for either A or B. We had that by Truma Temeah. Telem remembers we discussed this. There's a Rabbeinu Chananel and Psochim. That all Truma is oimed for two possible things. Truma Toher is la'achila. Truma Temeah is la'sreifah. But the sreifah of Truma Temeah is part of what it's oimed for. Shemen Truma Shenitmis is oimed for sreifah. You makayim a mitzvah of using it, the coin. Makayim a mitzvah b'shas kilui of using that oil in that way. That's the Mishmeres Tumuasi. Rabbeinu Chananel says, that's what it's used for. So in a very similar vein, the Bechor is the same way. There's two mantles that's happening. One is without a mum, one is with a mum. Now, if that's the case, one can say, oh, so once the Torah gave this broad stroke of all of these women qualifying, kol mum ra, okay? So now maybe any mum would qualify, even a mum oivel. Now bishleime by kachim, where it's a mechanical type of hafkoe, right? And the whole reason why you're going ahead to redeem it is because since you can't bring it as a kolm, you're redeeming the others, okay? But by bechor, the mum is changing the identity. The mum is saying, okay, now this is the mitzvah, how to treat this bechor. So maybe even a mum oivel. So Lufiani is deity, that will give us clarity in the back and forth and in the extreme possibilities of understanding Mumi Bechor in this regard. Okay, let me get Vaita. Now we'll go Vaita to Lamed Ches. Okay, the sugya continues through Lamed Ches. In Lamed Ches Amid Aleph and Lamed Ches Amid Beis, we have two Mishnayos that follow with the Alochis of Ayin. Of Mume Ayin, what's considered Mumim with the eyes, and we go from the eyelid, which is the beginning of the Mishnah, Rishal Ayin Shenikiv, and similar to the ear, Nikiv Nifkiv Benizdak, and then goes through different in abnormalities in the eye itself, Shochan Nichnas Lovan, and this Hemshech continues with the Mishnah on Amud Beis. The Mishnah discusses various mumim that the eye has, whether it has dots in the eye, which is called chavarvo, or it has hamayim. It has mumim that there's an excessive amount of liquid always found in the eye. It calls it kavua. Both of them have to be kavua. Chavarvo has to be kavua. These spotting in the eye has to be kavua. Cannot be temporary. And mayim, the tearing of the eye, which is a constant state of liquid, of discharge, that's also called a mum. Mishnah explains that in these cases it has to last, by chavarvo it has to last 80 days. The Gemara explains the whole details of that. And the Mishnah also says the Mayim Kavuim not only does it have to last, but there was actually a methodology to make sure that this is a permanent state. They would actually give it, they would give it grain, straw, that grew different months. They represented the season, the spring season, and the fall season, and this would be normally a this would be like a refuah. This would be something that if this was a temporary state would have gone away. Well, I say this was a test that had to be done, and if this happened, then the Baim is it remains in the same status. So it's Azadin of a Balmum Lagabi Bechol. Now, the Gemara comes out with a whole oiftu here, as far as, again, how you do it and when you do it, even though the Mishnah seems to say when you do it. But then, the Gemara is a very interesting shaila. The Gemara ends this sugya by having a shaila, Boi Mineg of Pinchas Barachve. At the end of Lamed Chesam and Beis, it goes up to the Lamed Chesam and Aleph. And then the Gemara says, Boi Mineira Pinchas Barachve Shmuel Mishmuel. Och Avalo Yitzi. What happens if the behemoth Taka eats and doesn't get well? Remains with the condition. What do you mean, what happens? Tchaposhet. Avada, that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Gemara's Shaila is here. Does the mum become a mum? Or does the mum show itself now all along to be a mum? Idach lamafrei avi mumah? Mikan labo avi mumah? That's the tzitzatim of the Gemara. Is this a mum lamafrei? It's only a mum mikan labo. L'may nafkeminis is the Gemara? The Gemara jumps to another case. L'mimal b'pidyene. Okay? L'mimal b'pidyene. That's the nafkamina. Nafkamina is if you're moil in the pigeon. Iyamut l'mafreya mume, moil. Iyamut mikano labo avi mume, loy moil. Basically, if it comes, if you're going to tell me from here on is a mum, okay, so that money that you set aside, okay, wasn't chal. So now it's, you're not moil in that money. And if you tell me that l'mafreya it's a mum, so it comes out that the pigeon was chal l'mafreya, and the mele you moil in the pigeon. So it's interesting that from the whole shaila is interesting. I mean, this, the achronim discuss what's really the gemara shaila. There's also meach on this in Yisurim is beach perk beis halachat zayin. There's a chaznish payos in simin chafei. There's a stipler has a lengthy discussion in general about three times the chazaka, how it really works. So there's really several points here to be analyzed. A, what's the shaila of the Gemara? But that, l'chaira, there are simple ways to learn. We don't necessarily, have to go and clear whether this is a chazaka shaila of chalatera kula. How does chazaka normally work? I mean, there is an avnei nezo. There's an Avnei Nezer that Taka learns that way. The Avnei Nezer in his Tshuvas in Yeredeya, in Simen Tov Ches, he wants to say that this Shaila of our Gemara is based on the Gemara in Yevamos, famous Gemara. Somebody, the Gemara that says in Samachem and Aleph, if somebody married a woman, she had no children. Okay. And then the second husband, no children. So halacha is, she can't marry a third man unless, because she has a reyesa. She can't marry a third man unless that man was Makayim Perivariv. He has children. The Gemara says, what happens if she married somebody who did not have children? So she goes out without a ksuba. Now, what happens if she married the third guy and she had children? So now, the Gemara has a shayla over there. What's the halacha? Could she go back now and say, you know what? I want my ksubi money. Okay? That's the need in there in the Gemara. So he wants to say that that's the shaila here in the Gemara. If this refuah is a vote is that it works l'mafreya, meaning it develops, Okay? It develops. The sickness develops during this time frame. Or it's a raya. That's the way he wants. That's the way the Avnei Nezer. So he really wants to make this into more of a shas inyan. But the truth is that there's another way to learn. I mean, the simplistically you could learn is, the shayla of the Gemara Gufa is, what is this? Is this a examination of refuah? Meaning, the way this sickness works is that it develops. And it takes time to develop. And the way it develops is this way, and the way you know if it's developing is this way, but this is a process. And the other way to learn is this is a refuah. The eating is not a way of seeing if it's there. Giving the animal this mahalach of feeding it was, this was actually a refuah. And then it comes out that if the animal doesn't get cured, so then you know what it is. That's what it is. Ebeze. Because otherwise, again, if we go into Chazaka Shailas, then we have really to deal with Ganshas, the Geshailas, and it's a much more complicated parsha. There's many, many Sugyas Ashas that are Tolian. It's the base of Ephraim, as the famous Shaila Gabi Ashait, it's very Negil Aloch. The Aloch is if a person does certain things which are prescribed in the Gemara as a Maisi Shtus. If he does it three times, he has a Din of Ashait. Okay. There, the base of Chaim, in Evan Ezra, there, not true, the Simon Peites, he has this whole back and forth, does it work Lamafre or not? And Nafkamin is whatever he did in between. Okay? If the guy did something in between, do we say that that was Chal or not? I mean, it could be very negative. A guy's Makadish, a woman, in the process of us finding out that he's a Shaitan. So, if we say that the shtus works the mafrei, we don't have a problem. The kedushin is not a kedushin, and gerushin is not a gerushin. We don't need a gerushin. But if you learn that a taka works only mikanu labo, then you could say the kedushin is a kedushin. The gerushin evolved. So that's in our Gemara. I think it's more simple. I think it's a medical issue, and the shaila here is what is this? Is this more of a refuah, or is this more of a bedik? Okay, now, the nafkamina is more complex. Because the Gemara says, nafkamina is l'mimu v'pidyona, which means all of a sudden we're jumping to pidyon, which doesn't even apply to Bechar, as we explained in detail in the last year, that pidyon doesn't apply to Bechar, because the Bechar is not about a pidyon. It, either it has a mum and the kohen shechts it, or it doesn't have a mum and the kohen doesn't shechts it. There's no pidyon going on. So al kochach, now the Gemara is veering away from Maseches Bechoris and basically going to a nafkamina, it's negiat the kotshav and not negiat the bechor, which is very strange. The Gemara could have picked a simple point. The Gemara could have had a shaila. If a guy went ahead and he did geziza, okay, he sheared off the wool of this animal within the 80 days, okay? If you say it's a bal mum l'mafreya, fine, mutal. Right? If you say it's mikano labo, so that shearing is also. So it's negea to Bechor itself. Very negea. Very typical shayla, very negea. So taka de achronim has this kasha. That's one very negea to shayla. And then there's obviously other nafkaminis. I mean, the Gemara could have said, are you moil in the behem itself? Okay? If once you're not talking about Bechor, right, you're talking about all Kachim, so L'moshel Kachik Kadoshim, there's Me'ila, even Mechayim. So once Rashi is saying that the Gemara is not going in this Nekudah, okay, we're not going by Bechor, then we could talk about Me'ila of the Behem itself. So it's very, very, in other words, the Behem itself, it's alive. So why do you have to go and... So Taka de Mitzpeyesan is bothered by that question. I was thinking that perhaps we can answer based on what we explained in the first shiur. We could say over here it's as well. The Gemara couldn't bring the Shail Negeah to Bechor. Because by Bechor, it's all Tolian dictate. So there's no Shaila. that until the Torah tells you that the mum, your mitzvah changed what to do with this bechal, the status quo remains. Okay? So mameli, if al pi aloha, right now I'm a chuyiv to do such and such, so you can't say now it's a royal shchita. It's not. You can't say it's a hetel shchita. It's not. It's more of a marching order dictated halacha than a practical what's with the behemoth going on halacha. And that was really the way we were trying to bring it up. But mele, it's all totally in the mitzvah. And if the mitzvah right now is status quo, because that's the halacha, mele l'gabi b'chol is no nafkamina. It maintains the halacha of b'chol. L'chol dina v'b'chotov. And that's why Rashi said we have to go to Kachim. Because otherwise, very strange that we're jumping away from the Masechta. Okay, we'll go right now in the next Mishnah.